Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107. Sunday class, October 30th, 2022, Romans.
Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the teaching of God's word. And therefore, open the word of God to Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5, verses 1 through 5, that great paragraph on the results of justification. And this morning we're going to wrap it up, put a bow on top, and it's yours to have with you in your soul all every day after day, so that you can have Christmas and Thanksgiving every single day. It's one of the great passages and great paragraphs in the Word of God. The results of justification, Romans 5, 1 through 5. In preparation to worship our Lord, let's pray. Father, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and your matchless grace. And we thank you, Heavenly Father, for the preservation of the canon of Scripture, the eternal and absolute truth of your word, that spiritual food and manna from heaven that enables us to grow up in the grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, that we might fulfill the very plan, will, and purpose that you have for each one of our lives in the very short time that we are here. And as we assemble this morning to fellowship in the Word, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of Scripture to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. The results of justification given in this paragraph, Romans 5, 1 through 5, are four results. Result number one is found in verse 1, peace with God. Therefore, because we were justified by faith, justification is that moment of faith in Jesus Christ. God the Father imputes His righteousness to you and then declares you to be righteous. That's justification. Therefore, because we were justified by faith, we have peace with God, reconciliation through our Lord Jesus Christ. And then result number two is in Romans 5:2a, access into the presence of the living and true God. By the agency of whom, the Lord Jesus Christ, we have also obtained access into the presence of the living and true God by means of faith. Faith in Jesus Christ, that is the mechanics of justification. Then result number three, Romans 5:2b, eternal security. Into this grace, in which grace we stand in the past, with the result that we keep on standing forever, eternal security. And so, We keep on boasting or glorying in confidence of the glory of God. That is the essence of God, or who and what God is. And then that brings us to the fourth result of justification in verses 3 through 5. The establishment of the grace pipeline for blessing. Anytime a person comes to the cross and place his faith in Jesus Christ, at that instant of faith in Christ, the justice of God imputes to every believer the righteousness of God. That establishes a grace pipeline. And down that grace pipe, this is a grace pipeline for blessing. The fourth result of justification, verses 3 through 5, a grace pipeline for blessing. And down that grace pipeline instantly comes 40 salvation blessings at the moment of faith in Christ. Then after that, logistical grace, blessing and support, day after day after day, to keep you alive in the middle of the devil's world. What is the purpose of these 40 salvation blessings and logistical grace, blessing and support? To give you the opportunity to grow up in the grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, to live the unique spiritual life, to advance to spiritual maturity, that you might glorify God to the maximum. So these 40 fantastic salvation blessings come instantly to that imputed righteousness, and then day after day after day, logistical grace, blessing, and support to keep you alive in the middle of the devil's world, that you might grow up in the grace and knowledge of Christ, live the spiritual life. And once you do that, now God, and all this time, He's tapping His foot, just waiting to pour out on you greater grace blessings. Greater grace blessings for time, and the one that is emphasized in verses 3 through 5, one of the most unique and wonderful greater grace blessings is suffering for blessing. And why is it so unique and fantastic? Because it develops in your soul four phenomenal virtues of Christ as you clear those hurdles of suffering for blessing with precisely correct procedure. And what is that precisely correct procedure? God's problem-solving devices that you have learned and believed and is in your soul. Only with God's problem-solving devices can you clear the hurdles of suffering for blessing with precisely correct procedure. And when you do that, well, four phenomenal blessings are produced in your soul. That's what is all included here in result number four. Romans 5, 3 through 5. Sounds like this in corrected translation. And not only this, but also. That tells us that this is result number four. And not only this, but also we keep on boasting or glorying in our sufferings. Suffering for blessing. Why? This unique greater grace blessing, suffering for blessing, because we, spiritually adult believers, we know that suffering for blessing produces perseverance, courageous endurance. And that's the first virtue. And perseverance, courageous endurance, produces or brings about proven character. That's the second great virtue. Demonstrated grace righteousness. And proven character or demonstrated grace righteousness brings about hope. This is absolute confidence in God and His Word, and especially in Hope 2 and Hope 3, greater grace blessing for time, greater grace blessing for all eternity. Verse 5, and hope never disappoints, because love for God, virtue love, the fourth virtue, and the ultimate objective of the spiritual life that God has for each one of us, to have the love for God, has been poured out in our hearts by the agency of the Holy Spirit. That's the filling of the Spirit combined with the teaching ministry of the Spirit, who was given to us, the universal indwelling of God, the Holy Spirit, to every church age believer at the moment of salvation. Well, this is one of the greatest passages in the Word of God that describes suffering for blessing. The spiritually adult believer has lived the spiritual life by the spiritual skills. He is living his life in the light of the unique spiritual life that God has given to us in the church age. He has grown up in the grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He has God's problem-solving devices in his soul, which enables him to clear the spiritual hurdles of suffering for blessing. Now, these hurdles may include intense suffering, pain, trials, persecution, oppression, affliction, distressing circumstances. And we will see this morning. We will see this in the life of the Apostle Paul. The greatest believer, greatest church age believer of all time, is probably close between Moses in the Old Testament, Paul in the New Testament. The greatest believer of the church age. We could take all of us in here together. You think you've had some suffering? Wait till we finish the class this morning. You'll be saying, oh, I am not close to the Apostle Paul. He was the toughest believer of all time. And he totally operated by the grace and power of God. He had God's problem-solving devices. He faced these phenomenal suffering for blessing, cleared the hurdles with precisely correct procedure, and glorified God to the maximum. As the spiritually adult believer clears these hurdles by the grace and power of God, four magnificent virtues of Christ are produced in your soul. Virtue number one is the Greek word hupomone. Unfortunately, it's been translated patience many times in your Bible, which is very, very weak. Weak translation. The best translation of this is courageous endurance. That's hupomone. It comes from meno, to remain, and hupo, under. To remain under the suffering with courageous endurance. Courage in the face of great suffering. That's the first virtue. And that each virtue builds on and develops and produces the next virtue. The next virtue, virtue number two, the Greek word is dokime, comes from dokimazo. Dokime is proven character. This is grace righteousness. This is demonstrated virtue and honor, sacred honor in your soul. Dokimazo means you've been tested, approved, and now you're qualified for the next virtue. The next virtue is elpis, virtue number three. Hope, confidence, maximum confidence in God and the Word of God. And the hope here is especially hope two, greater grace blessing for time. Hope three, greater grace blessing for eternity. And then that produces or brings about the fourth virtue, the ultimate objective of the spiritual life. In the very short time we are here, this is where God wants us to be. Agape, virtue love. Virtue love brought to completion in your heart. Personal love for God the Father, which is the motivational virtue that motivates impersonal love for all mankind. And then occupation with Jesus Christ and sharing the happiness of God. This is what we have in Romans 5, 3 through 5. Suffering for blessing. Now in the Word of God, there are two general categories of suffering, and they are based on the decisions that we make from our own free will. We all have a free will. You all have a volition. And from that volition or free will, you can make good decisions in your life, or you can make bad decisions. Good decisions to live the spiritual life by the spiritual skills and advance to spiritual maturity, that results in suffering for blessing. However, if you use your free will, volition, to make bad decisions and live in Satan's cosmic system, then the result will be punitive suffering. And one of the great principles of suffering is that suffering acts as a guardian. A guardian or a parent in our life. Suffering plays an important role in the life of the adult human being, whether he is a believer or an unbeliever. What our parents did for us in childhood, suffering does for us as adults. God has given us suffering as a parent for the rest of our lives. The discipline and restraints of childhood imposed by our parents are now replaced by the disciplines and restraints of suffering, replacing the role of parents in our lives. Suffering is either a warning that what we are doing is wrong, or it is a means of greater blessing. The only restraint some people have after they leave home is the suffering that results from their bad decisions. As a guardian in our life, suffering is designed by God for our good because it does two things. One, it restrains us from sin, human good, and evil, just as our parents restrained us. And two, it challenges us to advance in the plan of God, just as our parents challenged us to make good decisions when we were under their authority. Suffering is also used as a measurement of your life. Suffering never leaves the Christian as it found him. As a result of suffering, we're either the better or the worse. When you suffer, you will never be the same again. If during suffering the believer reacts through arrogance, bitterness, self-pity, well, you make yourself a loser and you start to go the wrong way. Now you're going backwards. If, however, during suffering the believer responds through the application of God's problem-solving devices, precisely correct procedure from the Word of God, he eventually advances to the point of becoming a winner believer. But no one stands still under suffering. You either are moving forward or you're moving backward. For the arrogant believer living in Satan's cosmic system, all suffering is designed for blessing on a very limited scale. Namely, to bring you back to reality. Wake up. To come to your senses. To bring you to the point of rebound. To bring you to the point of spiritual recovery. To show you that your scale of values are wrong. All suffering left over after rebound? Well, once you rebound and get back into fellowship with God, now this suffering, whatever's left over, is designed for your blessing. And this is why God adjusts the suffering. He adjusts the suffering. When you are living in Satan's cosmic system and it's punitive suffering, you can't bear it. By your own bad decisions, you got to the point where you can't bear it. You come to your senses, you rebound, you back into fellowship with God. Now God adjusts it. Okay, we'll turn that down. So now the suffering is turned down so you can handle it. And sometimes he takes it away altogether. So once again, there are two general categories of suffering. Punitive suffering, when we make bad decisions from our free will or volition, and suffering for blessing from making good decisions to live the spiritual life from our volition or free will. And within these two basic categories of suffering, there are five special categories. Punitive suffering is broken into two categories. The law of volitional responsibility, that is, we reap what we sow. And then secondly, divine discipline, which comes in three parts: warning discipline, intensive discipline, and if we don't wake up, dying discipline. And then suffering for blessing is in three categories: providential preventative suffering, in spiritual self-esteem, momentum testing, and spiritual autonomy. And then when you reach spiritual maturity, evidence testing. And we've studied all of these in the past in detail, and so I refer you to your notes on those. Romans 5, 3 through 5. Let's take a look at this one more time, and then we're going to look at the greatest hurdler, the greatest spiritual hurdler of the church age, the Apostle Paul. The best you can be is second. You can't be first. Romans 5, 3 through 5 again says, "And not only this, but also we keep on boasting or glorying in our suffering, suffering for blessing, because we, spiritually adult believers, we know that suffering for blessing produces courageous endurance. And courageous endurance produces or brings about proven character, demonstrated grace righteousness. And proven character, demonstrated grace righteousness, produces or brings about hope, absolute confidence, confidence in God and in His Word. And hope never disappoints, because love for God, virtue love, has been poured out in our hearts by the agency of the Holy Spirit, the filling of the Spirit, the teaching ministry of the Spirit, who was given to us, to all church age believers at salvation, the universal indwelling of the Holy Spirit in the church age." All right, this, what Paul is teaching here in Romans 5, 3 through 5, he is teaching also in 2 Corinthians. Now, we are in 2 Corinthians on our Wednesday night class, and we're getting close to Paul's teaching on this in 2 Corinthians 4. Well, it'll be a little bit later to get to 2 Corinthians 11, but we'll get there, apart from the rapture. The rapture takes place, by the way. Keep coming to class in heaven, because we will cover it up there. Not to worry. So turn over to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. I've already exegeted this, and I have my own translation. It's a little different. I'll save it for when we get there. 2 Corinthians 4:16. "Therefore, we do not lose heart, but though our outer man..." Now, what is our outer man? Your body, your human body. It's described in the scriptures as a tent. You're living in a tent. The real you is your soul and spirit, and the real you lives inside a tent, which is your human body, your outer man. Now it says here, we do not lose heart, but though our outer man is decaying, it's just turning to miaino. I did tell you what this is. Just turning to miaino. If you don't know what miaino is, come and see me. Therefore, we do not lose heart, but though our outer man is decaying, falling apart, yet our inner man, the real you, the soul and spirit, is being renewed day by day. Verse 17. Then Paul says, for momentary light affliction. This is suffering for blessing that the Apostle Paul was going through. For momentary light affliction is producing for us an eternal weight of glory far beyond all comparisons. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. One, the Apostle Paul was the toughest believer of all time. The toughest believer of all time. Two, as a spiritually mature believer and invisible hero, the Apostle Paul had the most intense suffering for blessing that any believer has ever faced or endured. As a spiritually mature believer and invisible hero, the Apostle Paul had the most intense suffering for blessing that any believer has ever faced or endured. Three, the Apostle Paul's suffering for blessing included the most intense pain and pressure and adversity that any believer has ever faced. The Apostle Paul's suffering for blessing included the most intense pain and pressure and adversity that any believer has ever faced. So turn over to 2 Corinthians 11, where he describes exactly his momentary light afflictions. 2 Corinthians 11, 23-29, the Apostle Paul describes what he called in chapter 4, momentary light affliction, which represents suffering for blessing. Second Corinthians 11, verse 23. Are they servants of Christ? He's talking about. It'll be fun to teach 2 Corinthians 11 because he's really being very sanctified sarcasm here. Are they servants of Christ? I am out of my mind to talk like this. I am more. I have worked much harder. I have been in prison more frequently. I have been flogged more severely. Flogged, that's with a whip. He has been whipped and whipped and whipped. I have been flogged more severely and been exposed to death again and again. 5 times I received from the Jews 40 lashes minus one. 5 different times. Three times I was beaten with rods. Physically beaten with rods. Once I was stoned to death. He died physically. He was resuscitated, but they stoned him till he died physically. He actually went to heaven, saw what things were like up there, came. God says, "I get back in your body. Not time for you to be up here." He was resuscitated and went back. He was stoned to death. Three times I was shipwrecked. I spent a night and a day in the open sea. See, you people in the Navy, you've done nothing yet. I spent a night and a day in the open sea. I have been constantly on the move. I have been in danger from rivers, in danger from bandits, in danger from my own countrymen, in danger from Gentiles, in danger in the city, in danger in the country, in danger at sea, and in danger from false brethren. I have labored and toiled and have often gone without sleep. I have known hunger and thirst and have often gone without food. I have been cold and naked. And besides everything else, I face daily the pressure of my concern for all the churches. Who is weak? And I do not feel weak. And who is led into sin, and I do not inwardly burn. Well, what Paul describes in 2 Corinthians 11:23 to 29, this is what he describes in 2 Corinthians 4:16 to 18, momentary light affliction. Paul calls this intense pain and suffering for blessing momentary light affliction in 2 Corinthians 4:16 to 18. And that is why I say Paul is the toughest believer of all time. Paul calls this intense pain and suffering for blessing momentary light affliction. And that is why I say Paul is the toughest believer of all time. Five, this suffering for blessing is producing for the winner believer an eternal weight of glory. What is an eternal weight of glory? Hope 3, greater grace blessings for all eternity that will glorify God forever and ever and ever. This suffering for blessing is producing for the winner believer an eternal weight of glory. Hope 3, greater grace blessing for all eternity. 6, the winner believer will glorify God to the maximum forever and ever. That suffering for blessing he has learned, he has out on the flat line of his soul, forward line of troops, God's problem-solving devices. Those 10 problem-solving devices which we have studied over and over and over and over and over, hopefully you have them out on the flat line of your soul. That's the precisely correct procedure for clearing the hurdles of suffering for blessing. There are 10 different problem-solving devices God has provided for all of us. You learn them, you believe them, and then when God blesses you, when he pours out the blessing of suffering for blessing, you can clear that hurdle with precisely correct procedure by the grace and power of God, by the Word of God that you've learned and believed and is in your soul. So six, the winner believer will glorify God to the maximum forever and ever. Seven, so the winner believer does not look at the things that are seen. That is intense pain, suffering, adversity, pressure. For they are here today and gone tomorrow. The winner believer does not look at the things that are seen. The intense pain and suffering, adversity and pressure. They're here today, they're gone tomorrow. Eight, rather the winner believer concentrates on the things that are not seen. God. Eternity with God forever and ever in heaven. Hope three, greater grace blessings for all eternity that will glorify God to the maximum forever and ever. Now, one more thing we want to take a look at. Applications of suffering for blessing to both living and dying. Your life includes two parts. The living part of your life and the dying part of your life. Sometimes the dying part of your life covers quite a while. You're aware of the fact that you might have a terminal illness. You felt a little... Some things weren't right. You went to the doctor, he ran some tests, and then you go back and see him again, and he says, you got 6 months to live. Maybe a couple years. That's now you're now in the dying stage of your life. You have the living stage, and then there's the dying stage. Some people's dying stage is very short. It's when, I had a fellow I gave the gospel to. He was an Arab at Wazoo. I gave him the gospel, and he says, "Oh, Olson, when I get to be an old man, then I'll come to you and ask you about heaven and all this stuff, but I'm not while I'm in college." I said, "Well, what makes you think you're going to be alive tomorrow?" I said, "You might die tonight." Oh, and he left. That night, I get a knock on my door. I open the door, there he is. And he was an Arab that turned white. "Olson, how did you know I might die tonight? How did you know that?" I said, "I don't know that." "But then you don't know it either." And he says, "Will you tell me again what you told me before of how I can know that I have a relationship with God and I will be in heaven with Him?" So I gave him the gospel again. He believed in Christ right there. So God works in strange and mysterious ways. But his dying part of his life would have been 1 second. They went over to Idaho, drinking age is younger in Idaho. So he went over to Idaho, got drunk, came back drunk, and they went, whoever was driving, went around a pass. The most dangerous 11 miles in the United States is between Pullman and Moscow, Idaho. 11 miles. He turned, pulled out to pass, and it was head on, coming on head on. And, well, he pooped his pants right there. Puma pants. The cougar is called a puma. He had puma pants. See? Well, see, you just learned a new word, puma. See? But he, you know what? He came back. First thing he wanted to know. The good news of the gospel. I gave it to him again. He believed in Jesus Christ. He's going to be in heaven. Sometimes your dying stage is very short. sometimes the dying stage of your life is longer. But you have two parts, the living stage of your life and the dying stage. One, there is suffering for blessing on a limited scale for those believers when someone judges you. When someone judges you or maligns you or slanders you or gossips about you, whenever someone does that to you, you're going to get some blessing for that. Now, you can't go around and start rumors that are not true so that you can get some blessing. That doesn't work. God doesn't work it that way. But anytime anyone judges you, slanders you, it doesn't matter whether what you did was you actually did or not. That's not the point. The point is, anytime you are judged, slandered, maligned, gossiped about, you're going to get blessing on a limited term, limited scale, but you will get blessing from that too. Nothing is greater than suffering for blessing. Nothing is greater than suffering for blessing because it determines your greatness in life. I.e. the Apostle Paul, 2 Corinthians 11, 23-29, the greatest believer of the church age. Nothing is greater than suffering for blessing because it determines your greatness in life. God's plan is for you to use His grace and His power, His problem-solving devices, His precisely correct procedure in times of suffering, and to have blessing and tranquility in the greatest problems and difficulties of life. Psalm 23:4, another spiritually mature believer, David, said, "Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I cannot. It says in Hebrew, I cannot fear evil. For you, the Lord Jesus Christ, the shepherd, you're with me." Occupation with Jesus Christ. David has virtue, love brought to completion in his heart. David has occupation with Jesus Christ. "I cannot fear evil, for you are with me." Occupation with Jesus Christ, sharing the happiness of God. Now, when David wrote Psalm 23, "The Lord is my shepherd," some of you have memorized it, the entire 23rd Psalm. Not that hard. It's only a few verses. First time I never heard, I was in junior high school, and my English teacher asked, I don't know if they ever do this today, my English teacher asked the class, "Does anybody here know the 23rd Psalm?" Well, I didn't. I didn't know anything in the Bible. I was an unbeliever. I knew nothing about the Bible. Some girl raised her hand and said she knew the 23rd Psalm. And he asked her to come up and he said, "Would you recite it to the class?" How great is that? Would that happen today in your school? She came up and recited the 23rd Psalm. First time I'd ever heard it. And as she recited it, it stirred up my God consciousness. And even though I did not know God, I did not have a personal relationship with God, I had never believed in Christ, I listened to that and I believed there has to be a God. There has to be a God. And I'd like to know that God. And God, whenever you go positive of God consciousness, the gospel will be given to you wherever you are on planet Earth. Any person on this planet that goes positive of God consciousness, God will get the grace gospel to you so that you can believe in Jesus Christ. Well, David is a spiritually mature believer. And one of the saddest things and one of the areas of suffering he had to deal with, his own son, Absalom, started a conspiracy and a revolution against his father, David. And David had to flee for his life. He had to leave the palace. He had to leave all of his material blessings behind, everything. All he had with him was the clothes on his back. And he had to flee for the desert. And now he's living in the desert with some people that came with him. Some of the establishment forces under David's command came with him. And he is saying, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I cannot fear evil, for you are with me. Occupation with Jesus Christ. All right. Well, we're gonna finish this up, I think. And if I lied, I can rebound and get back into fellowship. I'll take a break, see you back in a few.